Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 18th of February. Coming up today, concerns about youths on e-scooters intimidating people at Cosinton Park. We'll take a look at the new political party set up as a rival to Reform UK. And it was another disappointing result for the Gills last night. We'll have reaction from the manager. Stay listening for all of that still to come. But first, taking a look at our top story for today. In a shock announcement, Leeds Castle say they're going to end their classical concert events after more than 40 years. They're held every summer in the grounds of the site near Maidstone. Our reporter Davina Jethwa has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. She's kindly agreed to answer some questions for us. First of all, Davina, can you give us a little bit of background about the Leeds Castle concert series?
So the Leeds Castle Classical Concert is an annual event which has been running every summer since 1978. It draws in thousands of spectators, often bringing picnic baskets, camping chairs and flags to enjoy the celebration of music that transcends genres and eras. In the past, it's had some top performers take the stage, including the International Gospel Choir, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and stars of the West End. The concert typically ends with a Spitfire flyover and a fireworks finale.
And what do we know about the decision to make this year the final year?
Leeds Castle has not addressed this directly, but a spokesperson says it recognises that the live music landscape and audience expectations have evolved over time. They added that they are grateful to everyone who has supported the Leeds Castle concert over the years and also thanked Heritage Events Limited for their role in delivering the event.
Is there any suggestion of future plans for other events?
Yes. Leeds Castle's considering options for a future live music experience, but is yet to share more details. A spokesperson says any future plans will be developed carefully and shared once confirmed. In the meantime, the final Leeds Castle Classical Concert will take place on July 11, serving as a final tribute to both the event and the loyal supporters who have attended over the years.
Thanks so much, Davina. A spokesperson from Leeds Castle has also provided us with this statement.
We are extremely grateful to everyone who has supported the Leeds Castle concerts over the years, and we would also like to thank Heritage Events Limited for their role in delivering the event. The 2026 concert will be an opportunity to celebrate its history and the many memories it's created. We will also be taking time to consider what form any future live music experience that the castle might take. Further details of the 2026 concert programme and theme will be announced in due course. Tickets are on sale now and selling fast. This will be the final opportunity to experience a summer concert at Leeds Castle in its current format, to picnic beneath the stars, enjoy Kent's best open-air concert and be part of a tradition dating back to 1978.
For all the latest on this story, head to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, it's been revealed a former employee of a Kent school who was found guilty of historic abuse against a child had a previous conviction. Mark Slade is understood to have worked at St Crispin's Infant School in Westgate-on-Sea between 2020 and 2022. It's believed his offending predates his time at the school. The 57-year-old from Buckingham Road in Margate was also sacked from another school position in 2009 after admitting slapping a child. He's currently awaiting sentencing. A man arrested following the death of a woman at a hotel near Gravesend has been released without charge. Police and paramedics were called to the Inn on the Lake in Shawn last December and found a woman in her 40s. A 49-year-old man was detained and released on bail. The death is now not being treated as suspicious. A cafe in Folkestone has been stripped of its licence after it was found to be employing illegal workers. Officers made four arrests during a raid at Sunshine Bistro in Sandgate Road last year. Council bosses have found significant managerial failings and the cafe will no longer be allowed to operate. The owners were also issued with a £120,000 fine by the Home Office. There are concerns about young people illegally riding e-scooters and e-bikes around the car park of a busy sports centre in Medway. Teenagers have been seen dressed all in black, gathering near Cosinton Park in Raynham. You're only supposed to use the vehicles on private land or with the landowner's permission. I sat down earlier to chat with local councillor George Perfect.
There are significant concerns that people have got regarding the skate park at Cosinton Park and some of the other surrounding parts of Cosinton. Obviously, the leisure centre reopened very recently following a significant rebuild, and of course that's opened up the site once again to significantly more traffic, particularly in the car park, but also in the wider park, which is now much more accessible to the public. Cosinton's quite unique in that it's fairly open to the public, both at night and also in the daytime, and it's quite difficult to secure, apart from a number of gates which are locked. Some of the challenges that I think residents have been experiencing very recently has been, as I say, some antisocial behaviour, particularly around the car park and the skate park after hours late at night. It's usually an issue that we experience more and have done in the past in Cosington Park in the summer, unusual to get it at this time of year. But I think, yeah, there is significant concern from residents.
It can be quite intimidating, I suppose. There are a lot of facilities there at Cosington. You get families, you get young people, you get older, sometimes vulnerable people, and it can be quite intimidating if you do see groups of people around on e-bikes and e-scooters just when you're trying to go about your daily business, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that has a big impact on people, and I think there's always that concern, isn't there, that particularly late at night or after dark, which it is getting up, but it's still getting dark early at the moment, creates challenges for our community, particularly feeling safe around walking around both around the facility, but also accessing it itself, the main leisure centre. So, yeah, absolutely.
And I know a lot of the reports, or certainly the instances that I've seen, it has been around sort of e-bikes and e-scooters, and they're not meant to be driven on public land. They really are only for private use, or if they have the landowner's permission. Do we need to come down tougher on people that are sort of misusing these vehicles in public spaces?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kent Police have been doing a good job in this regard, noting it's very difficult to police because, of course, part of the challenge is you have to ha actually catch somebody using them in the act, usually on public roads. But I think particularly on the use of electronic bikes in some cases in Cosington Park that are being used at 20 to 30 mile an hour, people have told me across some of the open, and the nature of the park means that a number of the access pathways are very open and long. Have sort of driven particularly younger people, adolescents, to be sort of using those on those sort of long paths and hitting great speed. So I think there is probably more we can do. And I think that, yeah, there is a role for the police, but also the wider community safety initiative in terms of driving down some of the use and also educating, working with some of our local schools and sick forms on some of that too.
Police have told us they received 10 reports of antisocial behaviour at Cosington Park Sports Centre in January and are working with the local authority while reviewing CCTV.
Kent Online News.
Two teenagers have been arrested on suspicion of arson following a fire at a former Odeon cinema in Canterbury. Crews were called to the site in St George's Place on Saturday afternoon. At its height, there were 15 engines and two height vehicles on the scene. The boys, both aged 14, have been released on bail. Investigators believe the cause to be suspicious and want to speak to witnesses. An Ashford man has avoided jail after failing to seek help for his pony, who was suffering a painful hoof condition. Daniel Robert Briggs admitted causing unnecessary suffering to Freddie, who had chronic inflammation that led to a problem with the bone in his hoof. The 63-year-old, who lives in Hawthorne in Appledore, was given a suspended sentence and banned from owning horses for 5 years. Elsewhere, police say they're cracking down on rural crime in Kent after prosecuting a poacher in Thanet. Gavin Chapman was caught hare coursing in Birchington in January last year. Body cam footage shows him being confronted by officers.
Hello, mate. How are we? There's dead hares here, mate. Male's discarded a scope out of the vehicle, and I've located at the moment three dead hares in the bush row just next to his vehicle.
I get caught by you lot. Everyone else, they drive all the fields up and
yeah.
It's not on, is it?
Slightly sort of unusual though that you've got a dog that matches the description, you match the description, and there's three dead hares in the bush next to your car.
Yeah, but I haven't been driving no fields.
I'm not talking about driving the fields, I'm talking about hare coursing, mate. Gavin, Gavin, I'm responding to a hare coursing call. Have you been hare coursing today?
Yes.
Thank you.
The 48-year-old from Longmeat Road in Preston has been fined and given a 2-year criminal behaviour order. Two men have been charged after customers were allegedly attacked during a jewellery heist at a store in Dartford. Police were called to the Orchards shopping centre last Friday afternoon following reports of jewellery and watches being stolen. The suspects, who are both in their 40s, are due in court next month. Nearly 1.5 million illegal cigarettes have been seized during an investigation in Medway. Officers used sniffer dogs to find £600,000 worth of illegal tobacco tobacco at a self-storage site. They're thought to have been smuggled into the country, hidden inside deep fat fryers. More than 1,000 vapes were also seized. Legal action has been launched against the owner of farmland in Gravesend, where mobile homes have been stationed without permission. It's after planning permission for 8 mobile homes and 2 day rooms on the site off White Post Lane in Sault Ste. Were refused. Council say the occupiers are not complying with an enforcement notice. Anyone found in breach is liable on conviction to an unlimited fine.
Kent Online News.
Kent County councillors who were kicked out of Reform UK have now joined a rival party. Restore Britain was set up by MP Rupert Lowe, who also left Reform last year. 7 members of KCC have joined and will form an official group on the county council. We caught up with local democracy reporter Dan Essen to find out what this means for the county. To start off with, Dan, I guess, could you tell us who Restore Britain are and how they're different to Reform?
So Restore Britain is a relatively new political party. It was formed by Rupert Lowe. He's a multimillionaire businessman and the Member of Parliament for Great Yarmouth. He was elected in 2024 as a member of Reform UK. But he, in March 2023, he had the whip from that party removed from him. There were claims of bullying and threats and that kind of thing, which would never reach any kind of legal or official action. But there was also a political side to his leaving of Reform UK. He claims that Nigel Farage was apprehensive about the idea of endorsing mass deportations and this sort of thing. So essentially, the short of it is that Restore Britain shares quite a lot of DNA with Reform UK, but is widely perceived to be significantly more radical and, in the eyes of many, much, much further to the right than Reform UK is.
And who are the Kent councillors who have joined the party?
So there are now 7 members of KCC who are members of Restore Britain. They are Isabella Kemp, Maxine Fothergill, Brian Black, Paul Thomas, Oliver Bradshaw and Robert Ford. And Dean Burns. Those 7, of those 7, 6 of them were independent up until this point. They were all expelled as part of the fallout of a leaked video of Councillor Lyndon Kemp-Caron swearing at councillors in a meeting regarding local government, while discussing local government reorganisation last year. But one of those, Dean Burns, he wasn't expelled from the party then. He was a cabinet member. He was sort of quietly and mysteriously removed from his cabinet post back in December. And he has defected straight from Reform to Restore Britain in the past day.
Could this be damaging for Reform UK?
Don't know whether it will be meaningfully damaging for Reform UK. The Rupert Lowe is, you know, he's got a good game on Twitter. He's got a lot of followers. I think he made the most money of any member of parliament from social media in the past year by declarations of interest. But he's not really a major national political figure. He was elected as a member of Reform. Reform UK has an awful lot of brand recognition by virtue of the fact that it's Nigel Farage's party. Rupert Lowe doesn't have that level of charisma or name recognition or popularity. And not to mention KCC isn't going up for a vote anytime soon and probably never will, because KCC is being abolished in the next couple of years and will be replaced with a unitary authority. Obviously, those authorities will have a completely different geography from the existing county council. It's very hard to say what any kind of vote in those would look like. But as it stands, Restore Britain is a relatively small party led by and has one member of parliament. And I'm confident saying I don't think it poses any real electoral threat to Reform at this point.
And what does this mean for Kent County Council?
So for Kent County Council, thus far, essentially not too much changes. However, Restore Britain are now, with 7 members, are now the third largest group on KCC after the ruling Reform group and the Liberal Democrats, who are the official opposition. The Liberal Democrats have 12 members. So in theory, if Restore Britain gained another 5 or 6 people, they could themselves become the official opposition. How likely that is, I don't quite know. But Bill Barrett, an independent councillor who's formerly of Reform, he tells me he believes that that more people will join Restore Britain, and that essentially there's an appetite for splitting in the Reform administration, which is also what some people like Anthony Hook of the Liberal Democrats have told me. But as it stands at the moment, Reform UK are still in majority control of the council. The Liberal Democrats are still the opposition. But no doubt it will might make some people in the Reform administration nervous that that there's now a separate right-wing party with some of their old former colleagues in it, to whom anyone who's dissatisfied could quite readily defect.
Thanks so much, Dan. There's more about this story over on our website. Bosses in Medway have sold off an industrial estate in a bid to improve their finances. The Railway Street industrial estate in Gillingham went for £775,000. Council also sold Gillingham Business Park and Raynham Shopping Centre last year to help reduce maintenance costs for their portfolio of properties. A Sheerness man who admitted stealing a 5-foot Christmas statue from outside a funeral parlour has been ordered to pay compensation. John Bain took the nutcracker from the Luke Allam Funeral Directors in Broadway on December 4th. The 39-year-old from Invicta Road was also charged with two previous shoplifting offences. He's been told to pay a total of almost £500.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Canterbury have agreed to spend £18 million on upgrades for the Wincheap Park and Ride. The investment will see the number of spaces jump from just under 600 to around 900. It's as council say there's been an uptake in usage with a rise of almost 9% in the last financial year. A family-run department store in Paddockwood is now looking for new owners after more than 135 years in business. Barsley's department store has operated as an independent retailer since 1891, but the family say now is the time to take a step back. They say retail has faced significant challenges in recent years and they're doing what they can to secure the store's future. Elsewhere, a bar near Maidstone, which opened only 2 months ago, is already looking to expand. There was backlash when Musket Brewery's bar, The Armoury in Linton, closed last October after 12 years of trading. The manager of Loddington Farm, where it's based, decided to open his own tap room and launch the Loddington Tap on December 5th. Alex Hones is the bar manager there.
Our tap room's been open since the 5th of December last year and has been well supported by the local community. We have a fine group of regulars, all sorts of people who are great fans of beer, as well as our wines, as well as local families who bring children along, and groups of people coming along to enjoy the various things that we have here at the Loddington Tap. Some of these include our regular food trucks, like the Braai Buddies doing South African barbecue, Specs and Bear doing Raclette cheese, and the Pizza Boys, as well as the Nacho Wagon, and lots of others we can mention. You'll find one here pretty much every weekend that we've got coming up. As well as that, we've got charity nights that we do for local charities, including the Patch at Laddingford, and one coming up for Whiz Kids. The thing that we do pride ourselves mostly here is about supporting our local producers. So you'll always find a different selection of beers and ciders from all sorts of breweries that we've got in and around the southeast of England and Kent.
The Loddington Tap already makes use of the extra space provided by a tent in the grounds. And a Margate dad has become a millionaire after buying a lottery ticket by mistake. The unnamed winner says he went to his regular shop to claim another prize and accidentally bought the winning ticket at the same time. He's claimed £1 million and plans to buy his own home and look after his family.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have suffered another disappointing defeat in League Two. They were beaten 1-0 at Chesterfield last night. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth.
Listen, it's another set piece that we've conceded against the team that I believe will be in the playoffs. I think they're one of the better teams in the league. I really do. I think they're very good going forward. It's frustrating because we limited their chances until we opened up and went for it at the end. And I'm going with all sorts of forwards on the pitch. They slid a couple in, but for the first 15 minutes we were superb, and then one moment where we let them in, they get a leg up, and you can't let that happen away from home at Chesterfield. They're good, they're a very good side. We're a little bit off, we're still a little bit off of where I want to be. I know it's been good, and when I came in we had the unbeaten run and everything, and we seem to have gone, and we've got the decent points total already this season, but we're a little bit off where I want to be. I think some of the balls, some of the passing, just a bit astray. Don't find the man that we want to find. And it was frustrating today. But, you know, we have this plan and we're gonna go for it, you know. Fans, again, thank you and thanks for staying. The boys would front that up. They came right up to the fans and gone, look, we've given everything tonight. We just came up short against a very good Chesterfield side. I thought they ground us down in that first half, and then second half we threw a lot at them, but sometimes the quality wasn't there at the end, and we've got to be better than that.
It's another blow to Gillingham's hopes of reaching the playoffs. And at the Winter Olympics, Kent, Taylor Lawrence had to be swapped out at the last minute in yesterday's two-man bobsleigh. The 29-year-old from Thanet picked up a slight injury and was replaced in the final two runs by teammate Leon Greenwood. He and Brad Hall ended up finishing 12th. There's another chance in the four-man event this weekend. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.